Evening, everyone. Good evening to the Finance and Good Governance Meeting on November 10th, 2021, and just for July. Let's go to the agenda item. It's FG41-26-27 to receive nominations and elect the chair for the Finance and Good Governance Meeting.
I nominate Councillor Karen Gatham.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I second that.
Carry on then, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Agenda item FG002627 to receive nominations and elect a chair, vice chair for the Finance and Good Governance Committee.
I nominate Councillor Cowley because he has been on this before and he is on this committee.
Yeah, if we defer it until the next session,
okay.
We haven't asked Councillor Cowley if he'd like to, so
okay.
If you defer that, that'd be fine.
Defer to the next one. Thank you. Agenda item FG002627 to receive and approve apologies for absence.
Apologies received from Councillors Cowley and Campbell with acceptable reasons.
Yeah, I'm ready to propose and accept. Everybody in favour? Thank you. Thanks in favour, thank you. Agenda item FG004-2627, to receive any declaration of interest and dispensations on agenda item A, B, C of the same things. Nothing?
None received.
Thank you. Agenda item FG005-2627, public participation.
Potential.
Okay.
What an anticlimax.
As a member of the public, is there anything you wish to remind
us? Agenda item FG006-2627 to report back and approve the minutes of the Finance and Good Governance meeting on 21st of April 2026. Oh, I did say anything, anybody?
Nothing to report.
Somebody seconded, please. And everybody in favour of the minutes? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Agenda item FG008-2627 to move back return and refund. FG007-2627 to review the timetable for the return and return item. Sorry.
I don't believe there's any changes suggested from the old folks, so we're good. Thank
good.
You.
We continue this, thank you. Yeah. Agenda item FG008-2627 to note VAT return and refund.
Sorry, Chair, just to add that the claim of £6,439.72 was received on the 14th of July after these documents went out, so that's been received.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item FG009-2627 to receive update on reserves and S1 says monies.
I've been doing a bit of work around the highlights and all the reserves that we hold and what they are for. This is kind of like a summary of what we've got, and there is a kind of more detailed spreadsheet of what is held and what is for. So we've got down here what's the section 106, what is for what, when we've got to spend it by, and then our borrowing as well. So it's kind of like a bit of an overview, but what I wanted to bring it up here was for us to kind of consider all our reserves and consider if we're using them in the right way, or you know, whether we want to kind of take a view on some of them. There's quite a lot of questions around this particular summary.
There's good numbers there. Have we got any further with regard to the 70 odd thousand with the skate park, transferring that, talking to James Fisher and co? Is there a situation that we've reached, or a level we've reached at the moment? Because obviously we're not going to go skate park because we've had two attempts at that. And
no, so we need action from council. So in order to ask for a transfer of the S106 allocation to the skate park, we need a proposal and a project actually proposed by council. So we need something to replace the skate park. It would have to be probably in new provisional youth outdoor provision, and then James would approach Hopkins Homes and go through that process then, but it needs to be a fully formed proposal from council and project.
So realistically, once Andrew and we start to look at the MAID issue about facilities, then once we get our ducks in a row there, then that would be the time to actually make that change,
yeah,
or make that request.
I think the sooner we can make the request, the better, because it might take a lot of negotiation. We only have until December 31 to spend the money. So the sooner we can make a proposal, we can ask for the proposal to be less specific and just approach them for
youth use.
Yeah. But the problem being is when this S106 was negotiated, there was a stipulation that had to be for specific projects.
Yeah.
The Hopkins may say, no, we're not going to change it, it's got to be that or nothing, or give the money back.
Right.
It could be that approach. They might want a specific, actually, we're going to spend £71,657 on X.
Yeah.
So, like a playground, a pump track, a multi goal, a something. So, it might be that we have to provide a specific for this one because of the time that
we need. So, we really need to get our act. So, through May, we'll probably need to start pushing that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
So, Chair, please. So, I'm mindful that that could still. I'm looking at the time zone, as you say, time slips, isn't it? So if we've got some sort of youth provision that would benefit from an outdoor play space, then we could match those up, but say this is what the longer term is. But the other thing I'm wondering about, obviously further on in the agenda, we've got to discuss the future of grant funding. Is there anything in these monies here that could support that?
Not as the current S106.
No, but the S106, anything else there in terms of the RFO,
so
talking about
the
reserves?
When you look at the other reserves, if you just go along a bit, we have got quite a few going on in there. We have got deferred expenditure, which may need to be further investigated to say, are we actually going to do the stuff that we said we were going to do? Because what that basically is we did spend it last year. We said we were going to, and we haven't. So it'd be like the bin project or something. So then we kind of deferred it into the new year. There'll be things like a rent provision, because we knew we were going to take up the other room, which is going to get used, but there'll be just those bits within there. And obviously the biggest area is this asset management reserve. And whilst I know why we've built up that pot, it's quite a big pot that isn't moving, because a lot of our asset stuff is precepted for, as in the annual maintenance type things, and it is a big chunk. But it could be that we maybe go, well, actually, we're going to split that in two, and we're going to add X amount each year, and one's going to be the community fund, and one might be asset management. I think if you've got a really big issue with any of your assets, they've possibly be covered under insurance anyway. So it may be worth re-looking at that figure. And then I'm starting to put some, the 16,000 has got 12,500 for the LHI, and then the rest is for future planning projects that we may have.
So, the general, what does general cover?
So, our general reserves is kind of where we've made excess of the income over the expenses, so they're in our general reserves. Now, we in our policy have to hold 6 months' worth of general reserves for our money cuts.
Yeah,
that's just over 6 months.
Okay, so that's earmarked anyway to be those reserves.
Whilst we can dip into it, because we do build it up over the year, we monitor that on a monthly basis, and that's just over 6 months.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying there. With regard to the asset management reserve, it was supposed to be a rolling 5 year. And I know that within the next year or two, we're going to end up with quite a lot of maintenance on this place outside. That won't be insurance, that will just be care and maintenance. So we will start to spend. And I know we spent some money, we did spend some money a few years ago because of the Little Pains, the building you love. But we've
some
also...
Some of that was preceptive for already, so that was in the deferred expenditure that I took over. And then obviously with this place here, we've still got 13,728 in the Melbourne Hub. And whilst that is for things like the new chairs or whatever, this is building up every year because they're not spending that grant and it's building up.
I think there was, we talked about this a few years ago, but I mean, it's, unfortunately, it's got stagnated a little bit, but we could hold it and not put any additional in this year, because I think probably next year there will be £10,000 to £20,000 come out to do a lot of work on this place outside the area. There are other things that we could look at, and I think the pavilion. But the thing is, the asset reserve is not to improve, it's to maintain. And that's the problem with it. The way it was set up, it's to maintain. So we could say, right, we want to extend the pavilion, but you can't really use asset reserve for that, because that's an improvement.
It's not a bad thing, it's just, do we have a bit too much in there now?
I think when we come to do the precept this year, it may be a case of we make a decision not to increase
the... We haven't for the last few years.
No, we just continue staying where we are. And as we start to dip down, because we always sort of said we wanted to keep a six-figure sum, and we wanted to get to a level of a six-figure sum. Again, this is for you joining us. And whether that's now dated and it's out of date, that theory, that thinking.
Yeah, and we haven't spent anything in the last few years, because the Little Pants was covered under the deferred expenditure, which I found. That hasn't been spent, and things, the annual maintenance of things does get covered in the precept. So your alarm servicing, your boilers, all that kind of stuff.
I think that's going to be a thinking decision for when we come to this year, whether we do what you say, which I think is a good idea, to break it out into two parts. Thank you.
Just looking at that one, S1 said, so we've got a spend deadline there of November 29th, so what is that community indoor facility?
That's the discussion we need to make. So if we wanted to make improvements to the pavilion, we should be taking £21,482 from there to perhaps update the kitchen, maybe do the heating as was suggested recently, to bring the building back up to... But I think where we keep stalling is, but could we do more? Could we be extending the pavilion? Could we be doing this? So I think what we're approaching council to do is come up with some plans that they'd like to follow through on, that we can then say, right, we've got £21,500 there. We can use that to improve the pavilion, or we could use that to do something. I don't know what else we've got actually, but you know, there are, we need to spend this S106 money, or we will lose the money by the deadline.
And just remind the chair and through you that, you know, as a councillor, I'm sitting here thinking, well, I have no idea. You know, so I'm wondering, it's a big ask, or even have made. You know, to come up with the idea, and do we suggest that MAID, you know, get some? I know you were going to go and look at places, and there's a plan to look at things, but I'm just thinking this is a big, big, big project, and you know, we wear many hats, but how many of us have that sort of bright idea?
Sorry, Chair. So we're making roads to coming up with these suggestions through the asset management. We've just had the asset review from the chap that came and scared us last week. So they'll make recommendations about what, as a council, we could be doing that will be presented to council, and then you can kind of make some more educated decisions. But it's just bringing it in front of finance and governance, and then starting the conversation with wider council as to these need to be spent or we will lose them. We finally, thanks to Shelley, got them in a position where we know what we've got and we know what we need to use. James Fisher did a great job of talking us through the deadlines and the restrictions that we have on them. So we feel we're in a better position now to kind of encourage some action.
Some spend.
There's another sports facility that we've got, other sports facilities.
Yes, so... The specification is quite loose on some of them, so we could pull together a proposal, check it with James, see if it fits the S106 proposal, and then you've got another 40 odd
So there's lots of options.
Just to finish from me, thank you, Chair. I think the Futures Group, we're meeting next week, next Wednesday, I think it is, and we're going to start looking at Beechwood. And I think that we've got two or three other smaller sites around the village which we could be looking at to add some sporty stroke, making them more amenity-friendly areas, you know, for the local residents in those particular pockets. So I think it's something that we should be taking up as well to support, because having broken it down like that, because I never knew that there was that many different versions of the same thing sitting in the pot, because we just looked at asset reserves, specifically a maintenance group to deal with this, and I didn't realise these other things where we were dragging money out of to do these jobs. So yes, we've got, it's a wake up call, it's definitely a big wake up call, but I think it's something that Futures can have a look at in conjunction with May, because we're going to start with Beechwood, the small green area there. We're going to start looking at that, and if we've got some money there we can spend, let's use it for the benefit of the village. Okay, but it's a start anyway, but I totally agree, I think that's good, and it's good that it's broken out like that now, because it makes us focus a lot more.
Can I ask if you'd like this presented to full council next week, just to inform full council that this is here, rather than
this is
an information thing.
I think this is a good, sorry, through you, Jay. Yeah. I think this is a good wake up call to us all, because I've not been on council as long as some people, but I didn't realise that there was these other things there, and I think it would be useful for everybody to get a look at this. And then we can start asking people to put their heads around the ideas and say, you know, futures are going to be looking at a couple of things. Come up with some ideas, because, you know, youth is very important to us in the village, to try and do something for them. And if we can focus on that and come up with ideas, but if we can put money together and if we can work on a site situation for a new building at some stage, we can draw on some of this as sort of seed money to start, you know, to work with grant monies that we will probably be going for as well. So, yeah, I think it would be worth putting on the agenda, yes.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thanks so much.
I think when we get the report, I think we need to kind of tie in back to this and see what's what, because I mean the gentleman we spoke to was we looked at this and our borrowing and against it from now as well, so it needs to be considered.
I think you'll come up with some interesting ideas and we shouldn't be scared of them, but I think they might be quite far out there and they might be quite radical, but I think we can look at them and take lessons from them rather than take them
to
the
boat.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Do I sound scared?
Sorry. Who's the
judgment skewing them? We had a strategic review of our assets, so we had an ex Dunstable Town Council clerk come in, and he works for a company that does asset reviews for councils and local government. And he's quite brutal. But it was an interesting meeting, but it's just like, sack everybody, do this, do that. So he starts at the, let's strip it all back and start again, and you're like, we have to answer to people, we can't do that. Whereas at town council, I think they come in and just do, they're just going, oh, we're going to do this, don't care about what everybody thinks. He can't believe we did in the village. And he's like,
A word of caution, let's look at what Camborne Town Council have done and how much, how many issues there are there from not following.
I think it was quite interesting because Steve and I met with him as well because he wanted some independent views. But I thought it was interesting the way he set up and said, I start from the base of you're not necessary, because if you weren't here, district and county would do it all. You're not necessary. So how do you make yourselves necessary to the village? It was just a good sort of thinking process. Now, what makes you add value to the village? Because if you all walked away tomorrow, district or county would just take it over and they would do the like grass cutting, they would do this, they would do that.
I think he's living on cloud cuckoo well, now, because the Rothmans don't know the village either, do they?
Yeah, of course they do. But I just thought it was quite an interesting concept.
I wish I'd met him.
I'd like to FGO 1 or 2627 to review and consider allotment fees.
Thank you, Chair. Deputy Clerk's gone through and done a review of the allotment fees as they stand at the moment. We're roughly around where everybody else is, apart from Board or Castle Boys, actually, fortune. The biggest change this year has been the huge water bill. So water's really, really gone up this year. I think it's a combination of fees in general, and also they had a review of the meters around the moor, and I think they finally realised that there was more going through a certain reason than was perhaps previously charged for. But so that's put a huge impact on the cost of the plot, but whether that's passed on to plot holders or not is completely up to council.
So because it is the water used by the plot, then it should be the plot.
So, Chair, how much, in order to make sure we were still covering what we're getting now, how much would a plot need to increase by?
So that's So we've got £30 for a grade plot and £36 for a St George's plot currently.
Yeah.
And the assuming the water bill doubles as it has done, the cost per plot to us is £21.42. When you add the one-off cost, things such as pathway clearance and trees maintenance, it's £61.50.
So we're subsidising.
We have done this, but there wasn't, the problem being there wasn't any work done for a very long time. We've recently had pathway clearance, which was £1,400, and we had some tree maintenance, which was £1,700. So that's pushed the actual per plot cost up greatly. I think there's still derived huge community benefit from providing the allotments, and it's something I don't think we want to not be able to do. But an increase to £61 is huge.
So the £61 is only just also to cover all those maintenance things we've done.
Yeah,
my question is to do with the water. How much, if water fees are going to double what they were, how much does that add to?
According to Alex's calculations, it will still only be £21.42 if we're looking at the double water bill. So we'd cover ourselves with the fees that we charge now.
But we wouldn't be making as much of it. Perhaps my question is, how much do we need to raise it to make as much as we do now?
Well, that would be down to the RFO. We had a low water bill previously, didn't we?
I think we can just, as long as we can justify it to plot holders, the water increase has gone up significantly.
I think everything should go up annually anyway.
Yeah.
I think everything does, so it should be passed on. Just at what rate, I don't know.
And I think, you know, especially as we've invested in the allotments by maintaining, doing all the bits that we needed to do and hadn't got done. So I think it would be good to have a figure of what would make sure that sort of differential is the same as it was last year, just in terms of our costs for the water. Because without the water, you're not going to be growing anything, are you?
Yeah. Maybe use inflation?
What clearance? We've got that one, and then general maintenance. Shelley, the general maintenance, that's just an annual general £900, and that gets absorbed doing what? What is the general maintenance? Is that That's not including skips and things like that, is it?
So, no, it's also saying it's path mowing, it's hedge trimming. It's
but that happens every year.
Standard, yeah. That £900 covers those.
I would suggest that we recommend to cover the water costs and maybe a very small bit towards the two big things that have happened, but they're not going to be annual, are they? The path clearance, the trees, they're going to be, what, every 3-4 years type things?
Yeah. Maybe it's a case of if these things need to be added, worked out, but the recommendation comes from finance and governments that it's increased by the amount to cover the increase in the water. Because the maintenance is down to us anyway, and in the fact it wasn't done, and that's not a one-off. Yeah. And then perhaps look, Shelley, what you think about that amount, and if that's, you know.
We could bring it to you before council next Wednesday with a calculation of what we need to keep the same income.
I think so.
With the recommendation from F&G&G.
If you look at Whittlesford, they've got a thing plus a water contribution.
Yeah, so the other thing would be to keep it the same, but add on a water contribution, you know, to say that would actually reflect, wouldn't it, the change of circumstances, Chair? Yeah.
So they can see.
Yeah, the water for last year, it's £14.06
And this year it's double that?
Well, no, that is the double one. So it was previously it was £3.75, and now it's £14.06
Wow.
And the half year cost, so already a £5.53
I agree with that. I think we should go with the water. We should charge the water because everybody pays for their water at home. It's something they would recognise, understand. It's a cost. Their costs are going up there, and it's not a major, major hit. But and we can show that we've done tree maintenance, we've done pathway clearance, we've done all these other things which we're absorbing as part of our ownership of the land. But I think we should definitely go for the water because. Who's to say what's going to happen next year? Water's going to go up again, and if we have another hot year like this year, it's going to get higher. It's not going to get lower. There's a lot of pipe work that needs to be repaired, and they're going to put the prices up. So I would say we go for that, and we can identify that as a specific as to why it's gone up. So I think we can justify that.
I think, Chair, just so you know, I mean, I think and then it also encourages people to be careful with water. Is there just one tap? Or have they changed the...
I think it's three or two.
Yeah. And has that been, as part of the general work on the allotments through all the grant funding,
No, because the toilet is composting, so there's no water to spare.
Okay.
There have been no plans to improve the water provision. It would be quite hard to the allotments. We've got grades as well, so I think it's just water companies caught up with the fact that they weren't previously charging correctly. They came with an investigation and found.
Well, that's how we can sort of justify it. The water that wasn't used there for the fire, was it?
No.
You were charged your fire service.
And we've only experienced the dramatic increase at the allotment, so the pavilion and everywhere else is...
So it's been under, it's been playing catch up, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll table that for the full council.
Yeah. I've been driving FG41-2627, the pavilion and consider. The minimum higher match fees.
So again, we're in a position where we are looking at both pavilion higher costs and pitch higher costs. So our costs have not increased greatly because we don't do very much with it. So we're currently £15 an hour up to 4 hours and then a £60 flat rate from there. It's relatively comparable. Comparative to everybody else for pavilion higher cost. Pitch fees are quite low compared to others. We don't have the 3G division, but we do have the changing rooms, the FA kind of restroom and all those sorts of things. So it's whether we look at an increase to higher costs to something that we rarely hire out, or whether we look at the pitch fees and increase those in line with some of the other local areas.
It's very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it
was.
That's classic.
Are we covering our cleaning costs with our contractor that comes in and cleans up now? Are they being covered?
With pitch hire fee, you can do, yes, because we're still cleaning once a week.
So that's, but even if the pavilion's not being used, is he going in there once a week even if it's not being used?
It's used weekly, so we have scouts in there weekly.
Of course we have
everything, so we provide that as a...
I mean, the pavilion, you kind of, we're not making any kind of substantial income from it at all, but it is being used for community benefit. So I think when you look at it, you've got to go, am I making an income contribution to the village, or am I making a community contribution to the village? That's kind of where that's sitting at the moment. So there are things that have to be done there because it exists. I think everything should go up, even if it's just inflationary. But I guarantee you, we've made one booking at the pavilion this year, and we made £30 last year. But the pitch fees, I think we could take them up. I think the problem we will have is the people that do hire the pitches will not be particularly happy about that, and we struggle kind of getting funds from one of them anyway.
So Dynamo's on a different agreement that they have a fixed fee for the whole year's use, so the only team currently that this would affect would be not going to the club.
And then is that fair? If Dynamo, and Dynamo's fixed fee has been the same problem since I started.
So it sounds like we need to review the Dynamo's fixed fee as well. I felt intrigued as there was a tournament down there a couple of Saturdays ago. Who was running that?
Dynamo's.
And I noticed they were charging for parking.
Yeah.
Yes, they are charging for parking.
£2 to park on the old wreck.
There is provision to allow them to do that.
I mean, it's not on the agenda, is it, for us to consider our agreement with Dynamo's?
I believe we can't consider our agreement with Dynamo's due to the pitch power grant agreement that we're in with them for another 2 years.
4 years.
Well, maybe when we come to our grant funding, we can say we're already supplementing it by...
This is actually on the agenda anyway as a subject for next full council. So that will be, I think we're going to have a discussion on that.
So even if we, put it, I guess what the RFO is saying, yes, we should put it up inflationary anyway. So what would that go to?
I'm not sure. I don't want to do it.
And it's, and it would just be Melbourne.
Melbourne have now got a vets team which is going to be playing on Sundays as well. So there will be two sets of... It's not just going to be Saturdays now. They're going to be doing vets as well this season.
And the ones we've put... There's nowhere else, is that these are all the ones around? Because Mel just doesn't hire theirs, does it?
No. Currently there's a desperate need for football pitches in the area. Yeah.
So maybe the recommendation for council is to increase it by the inflation rate.
£57 again.
£57.
£58 again. I don't see why not. We're getting
They are getting the improved pitches anyway because of the agreement we've got with the FA now. The pitches are improving.
I think if we're purely saying trade charges through you, it's in inflationary rise. And when it comes to full council would say yay or nay, but that seems to be the recommendation of finance and the government.
Just trying to think of the thing there.
Still lower than most.
I didn't think it was quite impressive. 46 pounds, sorry. So 46 pounds. Did we put it up last year, did you say, sorry?
We did, yeah.
By how much?
£5, but that had been after a period of not very long time.
So how could we justify the above inflationary increase?
They're getting improved pitches because of the other agreement with the dynamos.
That means that we can't put theirs up, so...
And also we will probably end up having to pay slightly higher rates to the cleaners. They're cleaning company.
But they're doing two cleans, aren't they?
No, but
we haven't had an increase for a while, and it doesn't look like we're all going to come in. Very good deal on our cleaning at the moment.
So you don't...
But at the moment, when do they clean on a...
They do whenever they fancy, but it's usually a Thursday.
Okay, so if there's going to be games on a Saturday and a Sunday, it could well be... more to clean.
I wouldn't have a problem with going back to 50. That's still a good deal.
Still lower, locally.
So, do Royston have any? Do they not have any pitches? I was interested in.
Rugby.
But they King James football. Academy. Oh, I suppose.
Okay.
Through you, Chair. I think when you look at that, we can justify £50 because they've got a good facility. They've got showers. They've got toilets.
They've got parking.
Okay.
Well, at least 30 cars. Well, no, 25 cars. But. Yeah, they've got the facilities there, and they've got their goals stored on the side on our land as well. You know, they get a few perks. I think we could justify 50, but again, full council will have to decide.
Of course.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. So Simon can see that in a minute and film there.
Who's going to second that,
please?
Thank you. Very much for Gary. Agenda item FGO12627 to consider the NGA grant external investment facility.
Should we stand on this one? Consider the engagement of an external investment consultant.
Oh, yes. I felt that this would be a really good idea for us to consider, so that we could try and get our investments to pay any interest on borrowing. So that rather than precept, like obviously we'd have to precept it anyway, but if we had our investments in something better, we could probably offset borrowing costs, which might then make our future plans look better. So the idea was that if I could get someone to really have a look at our portfolio, and someone with experience within councils, we might not be getting the best returns right now, and there might be other things we could do. I was just kind of looking through a company and reading their write-up and stuff, and I thought this might be something that is worth exploring alongside the asset management, so that we could bring it all together up at one stage and go like, this is where we want to go.
My immediate thought is that's going to cost money, and that cost might offset anything we might actually make?
Potentially.
Yeah.
I think what I'm asking is, would you mind if I explored it to find out how much it might cost? Because it might be something that's worth doing.
I totally agree with that, but I think it might be worth, you know, if we're talking about a consultant coming in and actually assessing what we've got and charging a fee to make recommendations, not necessarily comfortable about going through a company to get the investments.
No.
Yeah, because
not like that.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
That they do a report.
Yeah.
And
then you
provide you with some advice on how you can do things, like maybe where you could build some pops-ups and community benefit grant money or something like that. Like, so we've got the asset metal, we've got the community benefit grant that's coming in there, how we could build that up, so actually it's building more than what we're currently getting.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst that's doing okay, I just feel like we may be playing it not too safe. Obviously we've got to play it safe, because it's public funds, but maybe we're playing it too safe that we're not getting the best out of it. And I just wanted to explore it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you know, finding out some more and about, obviously we need perceptible council, what the cost would be. I'm just feeling curious, just thinking about when we come to borrowing meeting, previously when councils borrowed money, they'd borrow from the Public Works Loan Board because of the very
low
interest rates. Is that, in your opinion, is that still the best place to borrow from?
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, I haven't explored that, but that's what they would explore. It's just when I was doing our this kind of document, I was sitting there thinking, my God, our borrowing costs are, you know, we've borrowed quite a lot of money for a small village, so I understand that, you know, people maybe not that comfortable with the amount that we borrowed. We want to do some really good things with the village, and maybe we just need to look at our investment strategy alongside the assets to make sure that we're maximising every position, so that people don't kind of feel like you're just spending money on something they don't want. You're literally looking at everything and trying to maximise your position. Obviously, if a report from them costs thousands, then there's absolutely no benefit. But to be able to explore that, I don't want to go ahead first and explore everything. I want to bring it here and say, look, can I? I mean, I've only found one company so far that looks like they do this for public sector. So.
And can I check all those loans with the Public Works Loan Board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and we only have 738 remaining. That's what we borrowed originally. So we have 738 remaining, but they're still going until 2037, 2063.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I think if we can get something for, say, throw a figure out there, £1,000 or less, someone to do an assessment, because, you know, we've not got masses and masses of stuff, but I think we have to be very mindful, though, that when we do look at divesting money and moving money around, we are looking at Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and we're looking at the A ratings.
Yeah.
We can't go down to B's and C's. We've got to sort of do whatever we do. It's got to sit within an A category. Not necessarily AAA, but AA or A+, that type of situation. Because, you know, we are dealing with public money, and we don't want to end up doing the Iceland thing, where one of the local authorities decided to lose a load of money in Iceland. By speculative investment. But I think it's a good idea, and I think it would be worth doing something like that and then bringing it back to council for council to discuss it through finance and good governance first. But no, I think it's a good idea.
I'm just trying to find the company with it.
I did approach them very quietly.
What were they called again?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but they usually deal with COPs of a million and over, but they're more than happy to talk to parish council about where they are.
Yeah, but if you've got a reasonable figure, you know, if you can do something that, for £1,000, I think you can justify it, but anything more than that, then you're starting to creep into silly money. But, we've got opportunities here. You know, you've already increased the revenue that we're getting off of our returns because of the investment strategy that we've introduced. But yes, you can do better.
I'm just thinking of things like, you know, if we're going to do something quite nice with you, and we can get grant funding and stuff like that, there might be ways that we are able to kind of use things to kind of generate more income towards it, more support towards it, that kind of stuff. And if we do everything the right way, the proper way, and we go and plan and we say, right, so we've got to do this, but we're going to fund it with this because we know that, you know, we're going to, you know, maybe get X, but we're going to hold that and Y, then we just might win public over for some of the plans we want to make, where they don't just think you're spending money on something that they don't want, because you're looking at it as a whole. That's why I just want to explore it. I'm not saying it's something we have to do at the same week.
You don't. You don't look. You don't know. Do you?
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I support it. Just something to propose. Consider it. Okay. Thank you very much. Agenda item FGO 13267. Discuss future of grant funding.
Yeah. Standing item with refugees think about is when the community grant funding ends with Melbourne Solar. So the position we're in at the moment is we're in ongoing talks with Quintus and Melbourne Solar about extending the community grant fund for at least one of the sites, because they've had planning permission extended for another 20 years, I believe. So I've approached them about extending the deal. They didn't run away, and they say they're thinking about it, but it's taken a couple of chases and a thought around that one. So I still don't have anything to report back. Rivermel Solar is a new development that's actually just received, I should say, that's been accepted. I chased again last week, thinking they'd fallen off the face of the earth because all the websites have gone down and everything. But I got a nice response saying that they are talking to 13 million. So we had an initial call where they wanted to focus solely on biodiversity projects. The problem with Melbourne is lack of space to carry out biodiversity projects. We're already quite well suited with solar panels here. We could do with Pavilion, but it's very restricted. So we sold them the virtues of providing it to the parish council to decide how best to spend the money. They didn't run away with that one, they were quite happy with it. So we're still pursuing that as an option. Hopefully they will come through on that one. And it was just to update that I think our grand total at the moment for £471,000 has been allocated over since 2015. So it's still a huge amount.
When's the current?
So, Chair, I think I'm thinking about. So, we keep talking about the pavilion and how. So, if they're talking about biodiversity, but of course, they also be thinking about sustainability as well. Mm-hmm. Because in Shepworth, we've got sustainable Shepworth, Modern, we've got sustainable Modern, Modern, haven't got anything. But I'm just thinking, you know, the whole retrofit on Shepworth Village Hall. Mm-hmm. A large amount of funding came from SCDC for that. In terms of, so I'm sorry, rather see the whole thing about biodiversity, but if they might also be thinking about renewables, and that might be another thing. But it's great that they've at least
they've started the conversation.
The chairman, yeah.
Yes. But it's how we now proceed with that. So they've received their planning permission now, because we were kind of in the air, they haven't received it. They've received acceptance now, so it's what we do next is. I've reignited the conversation, but that's it. So is there anything else we should be doing as a council to approach them to put a proposal forward about how we do it? I don't know.
I think this in itself will trip a little bit into what we're trying to do for the youth, because if we are able to, I keep on coming up with the building a youth centre, but if we are able to do something like that, we could make that an absolutely green building, and that could be part and parcel where we could actually look at these people and think if they're prepared to support us, if they want to go green, that might be an option for us to actually start to get some serious funding, because we could get, you know, ground source heat pumps, we could get solar, we could, you know, it, depending upon what we can do and where we can do it, if we can do something for the youth, there might be a big opportunity there to actually tap into these type of people?
It might be a possibility. The problem with the suggestion from the last seller was that it followed a very similar suit. The annual price per kilowatt hour would be handed over, so we'd get a lump every year. We wouldn't get
a lump sum
to do it over a 10-year period.
That could be negotiable over a period of time, because if we could sort of upfront fund it and then chunk into it, you know, there may be ways around that. And if it's a big enough project and it's youth, they like publicity, these sort of people.
That would be beneficial for us, but it wouldn't be building up the community benefit grant. So
no.
the provision that we have now is that people come forward to us and request.
Oh no.
So the discussion is about how do we keep that going past 2035, or do we keep that going, or do we look at a different model?
Sorry, I was breaking it into two. The one that we've currently got, that expires in 35. But if we can keep that one going, that's fine. But I'm thinking the other one, the other company that's coming in that wants to go buy our own, then we could look at them potentially. We might have an option there to get them on board to support us to do something for the youth. Again, it's all down to whether we can find a site and we can build something. But there may be an option there. But I think it's good. I like the other one. If we can keep the other one going for another 20 years, that'd be brilliant.
So just asking if there's any backup plan. So we may not get the extension with Quintus and Melbourne Solar.
Mm-hmm.
Do we start to precept for a community fund? Do we look at any of the S106 funding? What do we do to build this part up, or do we start to restrict that funding?
We've got to 35, and so we've got another 9 years or 8 years.
Can I make a plea? And I think we've asked this before, but perhaps didn't ask it. Maybe if the RFO could put some figures together for us for how much we would have to increase the precept for each year in order to still be able to give away, what is it, £58,000
this year?
So I need to be able to see that figures to be able to understand it, really. And because that was always, I remember when Council House always said, we need to be thinking about this, but we've left it now, we're under 9 years, so the longer we leave it. But yeah, just wondered, it'd be good to have some figures for that.
I think a lot of it depends on whether we can get an extension to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how quickly we can get that information, because we don't want to start sticking the precept up every year to build a pot so that we're rolling in 60,000 extra in 9 years' time. But if we don't need to, but I think we need to understand what we can get out of these people, and if they are prepared to work with us and continue. So I think that's the urgency factor at the moment. However, there are probably some charity and things that we do that we would want to continue, you know, like Max and things like that. There's things in the village that we would definitely want to be part of. Some of them, you know, the sports things and other things, we might have to drop by the wayside. But I think that is a debate for probably this year, so that we can start from next year looking at what we need to factor into. But
again, trying to get my head around numbers, you know, and you look at the Unity Centre in Northstow, that's just won all those, you're looking, you know, best part of £9 million there. Our pavilion, is there any scope to do anything with that, either make it two-storey or make it bigger? Who owns the land? That's a building that's already there. And if we were looking to get some funding for retrofitting it to make it more greener, just thinking.
I think the strategic asset review may come up with some amazing ideas of what we could do in that area. They believe that area is a very valuable area in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They're also including Little Hands as part of that redevelopment, would be to take what is a very, very valuable building and turn that into the community hub, so, and build something for Little Hands. So, it, you know, they were talking about all sorts of things, and there's a lot of scope. impacted a lot of things.
Yeah, so we just need to have somebody help us see that vision, really. Because as you say, we only got how much for hiring out the pavilion last year.
Little hands.
And just think, we're talking about young people, though, that does provide a
nice nursery.
Preschool children, yes.
That's exactly. Your favourite building.
Yes.
I think it's like probably the ugliest building in the village.
The building is ugly, but what it provides is a really great resource.
But you could provide that wonderful service for little ones in a lovely building.
Mm-hmm. As part of it.
As part of it.
Yes.
And then the children would want to go there.
Well, what about the pavilion? Is it still going to be a white elephant just sitting there doing nothing?
It's being used more than it's ever been used before. This is the thing. Yeah. There's community value. The pavilion is being used more than it ever has been before. So we have three Coven Scout, Coven Beaver groups running out of it, and we have the food bank running out of it. We've held the Generation Game event there. So it's been a really valuable tool for the parish to provide community benefit. However, it doesn't make income. So it makes income from the pitch higher, but it doesn't make income from hire of building. It's not the kind of building people want to hire anymore. It's, we only have inquiries for a couple of birthday parties a year, and then they usually get there and go, well, no, it's all right, thank you very much. So, you know, we've got to take that into consideration. Yeah. People aren't doing the same things that they used to do. If we were to go down the route of a youth club, that's been highlighted as somewhere where a youth club would be perfect if we develop the area. Mm. So it's these sorts of
things.
But for, as far as grant funding comes, we continue on the line of talking to Melbourne Solar and Rivermel Solar and look for other alternatives and do the calculation.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Added item FG014 262 policies. A, to consider recommending approval of updates to allow more financial regulations.
Mm-hmm. So we have a slight update to the financial regulations when I can find it. Maybe date.
Yeah, it's just date change.
They were accepted, actually. One change. We originally had kept the model terms of funding fund transfers were up to a sum of £10,000. That doesn't really work for us when we're talking about big chunks and interchange. So we have a saving account in Unity and a current account in Unity.
Mm.
And we'd like the ability to be able to move between those any amount of funds because they're in the same account. It's approved by the signature of the legislature.
£10,000 limit on that one, and then the rest is date. FG014267 policies B, to consider recommending approval of delegation to full council.
This is a formality that I wonder if council wish to adopt. It's the scheme of delegation for officers and committees. So it's bringing together things from the financial regulations, the standing orders, job contracts, and all sorts of things. So there's no new delegation here apart from one. But it's bringing it all together under one scheme so that if we are questioned by members of the public, if we're questioned by councillors, we can pull out the scheme of delegation document and show them that the officers within the office have delegation to do certain things and committees have a delegation
to do certain things.
Mm. So the only one that isn't currently listed anywhere is the grant. So grant funding, currently there's nowhere explicitly states that the clerk or RFO or deputy clerk can go out and seek grant funding in something. It has to all come through council. That absolutely sensible decision up to a certain limit. But we have opportunities sometimes to go out for very small pots of money that we have to act very quickly. And I would like to suggest that council or the delegation to the office to be able to say, there's a £500 pot for the allotment there, we'd like to go and get that without coming back to council and reporting after the case. So if that feels acceptable, then
that would be
really good. But everything else is covered under either job contract or financial risk or signing orders.
Make your proposals with the updates.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hart. Can you second that, Councillor? Are we in favour?
Thank you.
Agenda item 2015-2627. Do you know the date of the next financial book balance release? Tuesday, 3rd of November, 2026.
That's what we do, precepts.